1 Peter chapter 1.
And we're looking particularly at verses 17 to 21. I don't know if any of you are getting the impression that I've preached from this very recently. It's not that recent, but I have quoted it in the last couple of weeks. It seems to go very well with this section on the Passover and then the idea of consecration. So we'll read those verses and then pray. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's works impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. So your faith and hope are in God. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the fact that passages like this can be very familiar to us. You've given us the opportunity to read your word and hear your word. Lord, as we look at something that I'm sure we all have heard before, would you help us to marvel again at the work of our Savior, redeeming us? Would you help us to remember that we are redeemed for a purpose? Redeemed for holiness. Lord, would you challenge us and would you encourage us as we look at these things? In Jesus' name, amen. I imagine that you've all experienced unreasonable demands. Maybe if you're a student, you're thinking of things that teachers have required that just didn't seem reasonable to you. I'm not talking about when they gave you an assignment and you waited till the very last minute to complete it and then realized it was longer than you expected. That wasn't an unreasonable demand on your teacher's part. But teachers may give unreasonable demands. You're at home, Your parents might give an unreasonable demand more than a child of that age is able to do. If you're at work and someone comes into your office or approaches you late in the day and just hands you 6 hours of work, it might be an unreasonable demand. Well, we're starting here because there's a demand in this passage. Now, if you're looking at those couple of verses, you wouldn't see it. We have to go back one more verse and look at what might seem like an unreasonable demand by God. Look at verse 15. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. That's a demand coming from God. It says there it was written. It doesn't mean, oh, this was written, you know, Moses telling everybody, you should try to be as holy as I am. This is God looking at his people and saying, be holy because I am holy. Be holy like me. That can seem like an unreasonable demand. Like some power lifter doing the enormous weights in the gym and then just telling one of us, come on, I can do this. Why don't you jump in? Why can't you do this? Sometimes we hear that demand, be holy, and we sort of dumb it down. We say, well, we can't do that. So be holy becomes, well, do your best. Try, maybe a little harder than you are right now. As we look for this, we want to take God's command here seriously. And we want to recognize the encouragements he gives us in that pursuit. And those are encouragements are the things we already read, verses 17 to 21. Our encouragement is that we have been redeemed. You were bought with a price. And at the very end of that section, we see that your faith and your hope are in God. So our big idea here is this. If you're a Christian, you've been redeemed. Your faith and your hope are in God. So be holy. Well, first, you were redeemed. Look at verse 18. Verse 18 again. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Clearly, the understanding here is that we need to be redeemed. And when we think of redemption, we usually think of redeemed from sin. But specifically in this verse, notice that there's a redemption from an empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. Peter was asking these believers, he's writing this letter to think back to what their way of life had been, their culture. What were the answers that their culture gave for how to be okay in life? How to prepare for eternity? Peter would say, whatever your culture was, and every culture gives some kind of answer to those questions. Whatever culture it was empty. Doesn't mean that there aren't beautiful things in different cultures, beautiful art. Right? All people are made in the image of God. Every culture has some glimmers of that truth. But ultimately, he's saying your way of life was empty because it doesn't have any answers. There aren't any explanations of what makes a life truly satisfying, eternally productive. No other way of life can help you when it comes to preparing for eternity. We could think of many false religions that are empty when it comes to how we can approach a holy God. You could think of false ideologies that surround us, you know, the idea that I can save myself by being good. If I'm good enough, I'll be prepared for life after death somehow. We need to be saved, to be redeemed from all of that kind of thinking. Because those empty ways of life aren't just bad advice. They're actually godlessness. Right? They're actually sin. as we rely on ourselves instead of God. We need to be redeemed from an empty way of life. And we have been redeemed, we're told. Not by something so trivial and worthless as gold or silver, but redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. I hope you can follow why I would connect this passage with Exodus 13. You're thinking of Exodus 13 here. You would say, what category of beasts do we fit into here? It seems that we kind of fit into the category of the donkeys, remember? The sheep and the goats and the bulls, they could all be sacrificed themselves, made sacrifices to God. It was the donkey that couldn't be sacrificed to God that would be killed if it wasn't redeemed. We can't be sacrificed to God like a sheep could be. We need to be redeemed, and not with money like the firstborn in Israel were redeemed. We need to be redeemed by the Lamb. Redeemed by Christ. If there is anyone who's not a Christian here, I want you to recognize that Peter would tell you you're still following an empty way of life. Might not seem empty to you right now. Maybe that way of life seems like it has a lot of answers, but it's like a cracked bucket. Might hold what feels like meaning for a while, but the meaning is constantly dripping away. How much will you have left when you actually get to the end? You need redemption from an empty way of life. And what's the point of that redemption? Why does Peter talk about redemption here? Notice this section is not a section that is just focused in on the idea of the atonement. It's not just focused here on the theology of salvation. Remember, this section is an encouragement to holiness. That's what this section is about. And so when he's emphasizing that you're redeemed, he's saying you were redeemed for this. You were redeemed. So you don't have to strive for holiness with fear. Now in verse 17, he mentions a reverent fear. Sort of a respect. It's not a command we can disregard, but it's not a servile terror that if we mess up, we're going to be destroyed by God. He's saying, be holy, and you can strive for this without terror because you've been redeemed by the Lamb. If any of us had a line on the floor that was 6 inches wide, and you were told to walk down that line, none of us would be particularly terrified to give that a try, I don't think, right? Most of us can walk down a line on the floor. That's not a problem. But what if it was 10 stories in the air? I should be able to walk down a, you know, 6-inch wide path pretty easily. It shouldn't matter if it was 10 stories in the air or right down here. But I think I'd have more trouble at 10 stories in the air. And it's not just the wind that would make it a hard thing to do. It's the fear of death that would make it a hard thing to do. Suddenly when I think, wait, if I just make one little misstep, I am dead. That makes walking even a straight line hard. See, a connection to holiness. If I'm told, be holy, and if you mess up once, you're dead. I can't do that. If I'm told, be holy, and you've been redeemed by the Lamb, it's an encouragement to follow after our God. Well, look at verse 21. Verse 21 mentioned our encouragements in holiness are that you've been redeemed. And also, 21, through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Striking to me that he doesn't say there, your faith and hope are in Jesus. It says your faith and hope are in God, and he's speaking of the Father there. I think sometimes we can get the impression that our faith and our hope are in Jesus because he spares us from the terrible Father who in some way was out to get us. But we can trust in Jesus. I think it's easy for us to sometimes feel like we can connect better with Jesus. We can understand him. He was human. But the Father can seem terrible and scary. He's the one who demands holiness. And sometimes the Christian response is to say, yes, God makes this demand for holiness, and I can just say, well, Jesus did it all for me, and so I'm holy in him. Don't demand it of me. I've already got it. I've gotten the holiness of Christ. Right? But really, if that's our attitude, we're thinking of God the Father in a sort of mean way, right? He's a kind of miserly, angry judge who we can sidestep because we know his nicer son. But what Peter is pointing to here is that it is God who raised Jesus from the dead and glorified him. This was God's plan. You think back to the beginning of Ephesians. Say, how are people saved? And Paul there goes through what was the work of God from all eternity, and the work of Christ in our salvation, and the work of the Spirit. All of the Godhead coming together to bring us grace and hope. We can hope in the one who's raised Jesus from the dead, glorified him. This made me think of the experience of being on a team of some kind with a coach. A coach who comes along and says, this is how I want you to play. I want you to do it this way. Coach may demand perfection, right? You must do it like this. There are two options, really. You can have a coach who is angry, vengeful coach, and you're trying to do what he said, because if you don't, he'll yank you out of the game and maybe kick you off the team. Or you can have a demanding coach, but one who wants you to succeed, who's willing to take the time to teach you, not willing that you just sit back and do nothing, calling you to follow the game plan, but caring for you. God demands perfection, but he provides redemption, and he longs to see us succeed. Our hope is in him. So we end with that command again, be holy. It means we're called to be set apart for God. That's what the term consecration means, to be set apart. We're set apart by being redeemed. And this is who you are if you've put your trust in Jesus. Remember your identity. Strive for holiness. I'd encourage you to think of that in terms of this week. How can you strive for holiness this week? Where are there areas of struggle with holiness? Perhaps areas that you've grown complacent in. You recognize, I'm going to be impatient this week. I'm going to struggle with saying nasty words. I'm going to struggle with selfishness. I'm going to struggle with worry. May we not grow content with those things. God has given us everything we need. He's given us his word so we know what is right. He's given us redemption so we have no fear of condemnation. He's given us his strength and his help so you are able not to sin. May we see as our identity, we are consecrated to the Lord. May we strive to be holy. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you that you are a God who makes great demands, but then provides the encouragement, the strength we need. We praise you for the way that you've provided for us in Christ, that we do not need to live lives terrified of condemnation. Lord, would you help us to strive for holiness? Would you help us to want it? Would you give us the energy to pursue it? We thank you, Lord, that you are a God who has made us righteous through the blood of your Son. Praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.